behalf of the committee for the visit of His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, and in particular on behalf of the Brisbane branch of this committee, it's indeed my great pleasure to present to you His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, his accomplished translator, Professor Jeffrey Hopkins from the University of Virginia, and his distinguished entourage of distinguished Tibetan monks and lay people. As this gathering is primarily Buddhist in orientation, His Holiness consented to deliver to us a discourse that is spiritual in nature. This discourse will be self-explanatory as it goes along. The purpose of the discourse explains itself, so that these introductory remarks need not concern themselves with the subject matter of the talk. It was suggested that by way of introduction, I should perhaps share with you some of my impressions of the talks that I was fortunate enough to attend by His Holiness in Melbourne. In the interest of brevity, I thought that I would share with you only one of those impressions, the dominant impression, and what I believe to be not only the dominant impression that I received from seeing His Holiness, but also I believe the dominant impression that others have received, whether Buddhist or non-Buddhist, whether religious or non-religious, whether academic or non-academic in orientation. And I believe this single overriding impression has been an impression of true and authentic humanity. This true and authentic humanness, despite the mind-boggling status and mystique of the title Dalai Lama, this astounding humanness, despite the devotion of his followers, a humanness that is created by what I believe most who have seen His Holiness will agree is a sincere and truly astounding sense of humility. The question, of course, has been asked time and time again, and those of you who have followed his tour in the press will have seen the question coming to the fore again and again, is His Holiness a God? I think as we sit here tonight and see His Holiness sitting serenely upon this beautiful throne, surrounded in an ocean of loving devotion by his followers and admirers, it is almost possible to see him as literally a God incarnate. But I would suggest to you that the surprising truth is that it is really this great humility which creates such an impression of astounding humanness, of perfect humanness in His Holiness. It is this very humility which most creates in him the impression of true godliness. And with that, I would turn you over to His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet. Thank you.
Dharma brothers, sisters, here as he mentioned, suppose here tonight I will perform a teaching, or how to say, the developing altruism. Che Tenida, any simgy, mother's assembly, and Yamnor, Timbuji, everything, any social visions of GH, Amigur of GH, and Ditane, she lame, chef, Dunny Yundu, Chicksim, Yamnor, Timbuji, together, determination, Yedoko, and Tambuchi, and Allah, getting it to say.
With some experience of this altruistic intention to become enlightened and following the process of imagination as it is prescribed and developing a strong sense of determination in the presence of this ceremony conducted by a lama, the ceremony can be very helpful. The one's thought, one's determination will get stronger.
So you say for that, it is necessary to explain the basic Buddhist teaching, especially the Mahayana teachings, or say the essential point must explain. You see, without proper understanding, it's a mere ghost ceremony and ghost nothing use. So I will explain.
Since most of you are Buddhists, you probably know about this quite well. As Nagarjuna said, whatever teaching the Buddha taught is based on the two truths, worldly conventional truths and ultimate truths.
When
Buddha turned the first wheel of doctrine, that doctrine was based on the teaching of the Four Noble Truths. In that, he first identified true sufferings, true origins, true cessations, and true paths, and then said that there are no sufferings suffering is to be recognized, but there is nothing to be recognized. The origins of suffering are to be abandoned, but there is nothing to be abandoned. Cessation is to be actualized, but there is nothing to be actualized. The path is to be meditated, but there is nothing to be meditated. The meaning of this is that although conventionally there are factors among the Four Noble Truths to be abandoned and other factors to be accomplished, achieved, or actualized, there's nothing to be ultimately abandoned or ultimately actualized, everything is of the same taste in the emptiness of inherent existence.
Tatalaya, Tanya Sayundu, Jirini, Kasuripuke, Tatanya, Dabe, Tenjungi, Tenjungi, Tene, any church, Tamjalo, Kasuripuke, Gugin, Chichaji, Sangengi, any Namsha Tamje, Tanya Mingzen with Dene, Dubjavishim, Tanya Mingzen with Dene, Shagim.
All phenomena are to be posited within the context of being merely conventionally existent, of only being nominally existent, of being dependent arisings that depend on other factors for their existence.
Namsha Chengi Chute, Tuduki Tuduki, any Kanda Tanya Vichute, Ten and Jonji, Shena Ran Leve, Dambe, Kasuri, Gen, Shenji Toki, Tubashi, Yindu, Shana Matu, Ran. Tell a yat, Namda Basin Sigari.
Because phenomena depend on other factors for their existence, for their establishment, they are devoid of independence. This absence of independence is their own ultimate truth.
No, that di disha, ta ren shi dong bu shi, da di ni tan ye ge nang zam di ma xin bo te du.
Because the emptiness of inherent existence is found when one is not satisfied with mere appearance, but seeks to find the final mode of subsistence of phenomena and ultimate truth is defined as an object which is found by a consciousness analyzing the ultimate or the final nature of phenomena. When one understands appearance and emptiness well, the two work together, or the understanding of the one is harmonious with the other. Appearance does not obstruct emptiness, and emptiness does not obstruct appearance.
Do you call Nama Shimbashuna? Now attending Milua, Jobe Ringtella, Tonga Canyon Tower D, Namsha, Devotion, John Mishima. Tonga Canyon Namsha Shaga Rutu. Tanya, that the tendi gumutu, because that tendi lua mebati, John Mishibaji, the Tangangi, Kasuri, Tangan Shindu, Tangan Gangbanashi, that's what I'm doing. But the chick shedders and the chick mother, chick shedders, chick mother child.
As long as one does not understand this well, it seems that as long as one is able to posit the dependent arisings of virtue, non virtue, cause and effect, and so forth, one is unable to posit emptiness, and whenever one posits emptiness, then one is unable to posit these dependent arisings of cause and effect and so forth. In other words, the understanding of the one prohibits or prohibits the understanding of the other. With respect to emptiness, it is said that phenomena are empty of inherent existence because they depend for their establishment on other phenomena. All phenomena exist or appear as the sport or manifestation of emptiness. They exist within the sphere of emptiness. Thus, it is because phenomena are empty of inherent existence that functionality is possible. If phenomena were not empty of inherent existence, if they did exist under their own power, then they could not be affected by other causes and conditions. It would be contradictory for there to be such change. If there were no dependence on causes and conditions, then the positing of the dependent arisings of which are helpful and harmful, good and bad and so forth, would be impossible. It is because of the feasibility of the two truths that it is possible for the mind to be purified of defilements. Because of the emptiness of inherent existence, it is possible for the causes of suffering and the effects, the true sufferings, to be abandoned, and it is possible to adopt and realize the paths, the true paths, through which one can attain true cessation. Thus, because of the feasibility of the two truths, the four truths become feasible. Because of the feasibility of the four truths, because it is feasible to adopt the practices which comprise the true paths and thereby gradually overcome suffering and its causes, thus the attainment of true cessations is feasible. Thus, through the feasibility of the four truths, there is the feasibility of the three refuges, the actual refuge being the true cessations and true paths. And because of the feasibility of the true cessations that are attained by way of the true paths, these being the actual refuge, the doctrine refuge, it is feasible to have superior beings who have attained such cessation, these being the third refuge, the Sangha.
等着印度，当，帮着那个几个三亚去用印度人民币，帮着用着三亚全国要的，帮着用着三亚印度在呢，啊，看他是，嗯，谢谢谢罢了，这边这边，这些他们叫了，你三亚如果要的，这三亚印度，谢谢谢罢了，跑到这边，这边他三亚印度呢，啊，南京三亚的差罢了，等着印度，啊，南京差罢了，三亚差罢了。
Then once the removal of one level of object of abandonment is possible, it becomes possible also to remove all levels of objects of abandonment, both the afflictive obstructions and the obstructions to omniscience, whereby an omniscient consciousness, a Buddhahood becomes feasible, and thus the first of the three refuges. Thus, it is through the two truths, the feasibility of the two truths, that there are the four truths, and through their feasibility, the three refuges. In terms of the history of the three refuges during the period of the cycle of one cycle of teaching, first the Buddha jewel comes into existence, then the doctrine jewel, and then the Sangha jewel. But in terms of a particular Buddha, a particular person's becoming a Buddha, first there is the doctrine jewel, which through being actualized in that person's continuum, through the actualization of one level of which, that person attains a superior path, and thereby the cessation of one level of the obstructions, and becomes a superior, and thus the Sangha comes into being. And through that person's gradually increasing the attainment of true cessations through the actualization of higher and higher levels of true path, that person gradually removes all obstructions and passes from being a learner superior to a non-learner superior, a Buddha. Because the conception of inherent existence can be shown to be an erroneous consciousness. So because it can be shown that phenomena are empty of inherent existence, it can be understood that the conception of inherent existence is an erroneous consciousness. Due to which, it can be shown that it is removable. Once it is removable, then when one thinks from this perspective, it can be seen that the predispositions established by that misconception of inherent existence also can be removed.
chima chuji insu serungi, chima tada chuji insu serungi bada drumni, eni namkin tuya chiksha suwa.
Thus, through showing that, or through establishing that all defilements can be extinguished or removed in the expanse of the reality of the emptiness of inherent existence, it can be shown that omniscience can be achieved. Now this microphone is also empty of inherent existence. Does it have defilements which can be removed, and can it become omniscient? No, it can't. The difference is that the defilements I'm speaking of are with the mind. Thus, with the fact of the emptiness of inherent existence of all phenomena as one's basis, one analyzes a particular phenomenon, one's own inner mental continuum. We have consciousness. Consciousness being something that has the nature of luminosity and knowing. Consciousness is something that is not at all physical. It has a nature of being merely luminous and knowing, and is produced from its own former continuum. In general, consciousness which has the nature of luminosity and knowing, and then within it there are two types, one being mind, that which knows the object in general, which apprehends the object in general, and the other being mental factors that apprehend features of objects.
Naya, daga na shingi ene chigi o da tunji tunji le de ngi shi dogwa sa na wo a yu di sana de ten de ngi yu di sa na shi mu sum sa na wo a de daga de de ten de da lo yi mang bu shi che mu wa.
There are many other divisions of consciousness, such as those consciousnesses that are affected or polluted by by conceptuality, that is, by having appearing objects that are meaning generalities or internal images, and other factors, other consciousnesses that know their objects directly and nakedly. Similarly, there are conceptual consciousnesses and non-conceptual consciousnesses. There are inferential consciousnesses, direct perceivers, and so forth. Then from the point of view of the empowering condition, there are sense consciousnesses and the mental consciousness. Now, between the sense consciousnesses and the mental consciousness, that which is primarily being analyzed here is the mental consciousness. Then, within the explanation of mantra or tantra, there are many further divisions and levels of consciousness, of the mental consciousness. If consciousness were not produced as a continuation of a former entity of consciousness, and instead were produced from something physical, either it would always be produced, or could everywhere be produced, or would never be produced. This indicates that consciousness is a continuation of a former entity of consciousness. With regard to establishing points with reasoning, there is one class in which one is establishing that something is such and such in a positive way, whereas there is another class in which one eliminates all other possibilities and determines from that that the object in question must be so and so. Now, because knowledge or consciousness must have as its substantial cause a former moment of consciousness, it's thereby shown that there can be no beginning at all to consciousness, to the stream.
So you see, from Buddhist viewpoint, there is no beginning of consciousness. And also you see, there is no end of consciousness. Certain particular consciousness, which is, you see, the impure type, these kind, there is no beginning, there was no beginning, but there is end. The general consciousness itself is no beginning, no end. So, that cause is the rishisi, shebe yudi, mata watching the yebe ringdela, koe chesha. Shebe yundi, be yonso tan, number tarbe kubdela, nyangdevi chesha. Kato konde nigalo, shebe yugitini, shebe yugitini, konde namsha, shaya shasha.
Now, cyclic existence or samsara and nirvana are posited in terms of the mental continuum. As long as the mental continuum is associated with impure states, it is these are phenomena of cyclic existence. And when the mental continuum is not associated with impure states, then these are phenomena of nirvana. Now, one can examine and seek out the meaning, understanding of liberation and omniscience within a unification or union of the study of the emptiness of the inherent existence, of phenomena on the one hand, and the study of the luminous and knowing nature of consciousness on the other. You need to induce ascertainment with respect to the various stages and levels of the path through this kind of unified knowledge of the emptiness of inherent existence on the one hand and the luminous and knowing nature of the mind on the other.
So that in the end, church time just send you chundruins. Send you Jarbam, send you chundruins. Matagwe church did it, Matagwe send you Jarbam, chundru. Tagwe church did it, Tagwe send you chundrulam, Jarbam.
In this way, it is said that all phenomena are the artifice or sport of the mind. The impure, what do you say, the phenomena of cyclic existence, impure phenomena, are the sport or artifice of the impure mind, and the pure phenomena of nirvana are the sport of the pure mind.
Now you see, as I mentioned just before, the in the
mental consciousness.
Mental consciousness. You see, within that, there are many different level of consciousness. Now, for example, at the moment, we are using a certain quasi consciousness. Now, when we dreaming time, we are experiencing more subtler consciousness. And then further, you see, during deep sleep without dream, that time we are experiencing further deeper consciousness. It's another kind of consciousness. And then when you see some people, you see, faint completely and even stop breathing, that moment we are experiencing further deeper consciousness, another deeper kind. Then the final, the innermost, you see, deepest consciousness, or the subtle breath, innermost subtle consciousness, is when we are dying. When we are dying, we are experiencing one consciousness. That consciousness is the innermost, deepest consciousness. So you see, the main consciousness, which you see, beginningless and endless, and ultimately go up to Buddhahood. That is that kind of consciousness, not causal consciousness. So this explanation mainly come from tantric system or mantra system. So now you see, here another point. That same the Tani is the same the Tani Chigwekwane Tilu Chigyar, the Tian Kalang Mare.
When it is said that all phenomena are of the essence of the mind, there is one interpretation, which is that phenomena are not different entities from the consciousness that perceives them. But this is not accepted here in this system. From within the four schools of Buddhist tenets, I am speaking from the point of view of the Madhyamaka system, and from within the Madhyamaka system, I am speaking mainly from the point of view of the Prasangika Madhyamaka system.
So that is the church time check, so sim ki takwan yang na tawe sim ta ma ta ki tene any kondek churnam shak yong in du zane di chane any sim ki rarwa chane kutu chiyo sa re sam.
Here it is said that all phenomena are imputed or designated by the mind, or that
church time check tanya dogwe takwa zama yang na ta ma ta ge che tam je cha we sim ta ma ta ge ding ne sha ru yong yin du zane,
or that
cha we sim ge ta ma ta ge ding ne any chi ru ge da ta ma ta ge che tan na da ka so le cha wa zhu ba da ta da di ding sha yong yin du zane any sim ge zhe ba sim ku ji zhe.
Or that all phenomena appear within the context or condition of the purity or impurity of that basic mind of clear light, the basic most subtle mind, that depending upon whether it is pure or impure, phenomena appear in the pure or impure aspect.
Yeah. So now you see that innermost subtle consciousness we call Buddha seed, Buddha nature. So maybe this one, the leaf of Buddha tree. So that symbolizes the innermost subtle consciousness. So within that, context,
it is from within this context that the various manifestations dawn.
Yeah.
So we can take this throne and see it as symbolizing method and wisdom. The seat we can take as a lotus, symbolizing method.
You see, that mainly compassion and kindness, these are the method side. The Bodhi tree leaf, this is the symbolism of wisdom. So combination, the wisdom and the method. So that is the basic Buddhist teaching. So now, so you see, that is the very simple explanation, brief explanation, you see, about the basic Buddhist teaching or the system. Now you see from that now, let's see, because as I explained, you see, things are like that. So now it is worthwhile or reasonable to try purify our own mind in order to achieve the most purified stage, that is we call Buddhahood. Now here the important thing is the all sentient being, particularly the humankind, all want happiness, do not want suffering.
All of us, oneself and others, all have a sense of I that is designated in dependence upon the five aggregates. Now when in Buddhism we speak of the doctrine of selflessness, it is not referring to the non-existence of that type of self or I.
Yeah, this one.
With that sort of I or self, all of us validly want happiness and do not want suffering.
Now here, I think it is worthwhile to visualize a certain technique. Now that is this. You see, our mind, at the moment our mind remain, I would say, calm. And be reasonable.
Reasonable.
Now you see, visualize. You say our right hand side, please visualize our one self, which almost like a kumbus kasari.
A hard mass. Just a hard mass of self-centeredness.
Now you see, our left hand side, you see, a group, or if you can visualize, you can think all sentient beings. If not, at least you see some group of poor people visualized here, including some very,
very destitute, suffering sentient beings.
Now you, ourselves at the moment, we should think as a third person, unbiased one. You understand? You see, here the selfish one, central ego person, visualize here, this side, the all sentient being, or one group of people, you see, needy people, poor people, suffering people. Now you yourself, you see, visualize as a third person, unbiased. You see, now you see, both not related, I mean, visualize not related.
Mm-hmm.
No enemy, no enemy, not enemy or not friend, like that. Now think properly. Now, both I mean, want happiness, both want, happiness and want get rid of suffering.
Yes.
And both have the right